بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل عمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الرسول المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين الصادق الأمين، وعلى آله من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أجمعين، وصحابته الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم. On the subject matter of the ethics of disagreement, I believe that first that to speak on such a subject matter, and by the way any of the other subject matters that we've been sharing with one another, some yes more profound than others, some carrying more responsibilities than others, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me first and for you, that what I share with you I be of those who struggle first to interiorize and actualize. It is indeed quite a privilege, but quite a burden, to tell others what is right and what is wrong. For as a human being, others, some more than others, are always prone to be infallible. And that many of the teachings we share with one another are what we desire to be, are what we want to become, and not necessarily what we are. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we be not of those about whom He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. Which means, O you who have attained faith, why do you speak that which you yourselves do not do? Indeed, it is a great abomination in the sight of God, in the sight of Allah, that you speak that which you do not do. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we be of those about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that they would be of the first humans to be entered Jahannam. And one of them is a scholar who taught others what is good, yet he himself did not live by that which he taught. One of them is a person who gave in charity plenty, but he or she gave so that it be said, what a generous person. My dear brothers and sisters, I must remind myself and you that this is a deen. This is not a secular field of sophisticated disciplines. This is more than that. This is a deen. And a deen is not just knowledge. A deen is a very real relationship with the Creator Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. A deen requires that we are conscious and responsible for every word we utter, every act we commit or omit, every feeling and thought we harbor. After this, then I say, that to speak on the ethics of disagreement and adab al-ikhtilaf, I believe it is instructive, the least to say, if not essential, to speak first of the concepts of unity, the concept of wahda, and then the concept of diversity, and then the concept of differences versus disagreements, and then to speak on some of the essential ethics and adab pertaining to differences and pertaining to disagreements, depending on the different types of disagreements that do occur between human beings of different backgrounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we must all know, and we must always keep reminding ourselves with this simple, powerful truth, that again, He created us in order to fulfill ubudiyyah to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is in being ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we shall accomplish and attain our dignity and our happiness and our true freedom. That the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most essential parameter of ubudiyyah is the hallmark of what the human being ought to be identified with. That the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ultimately in this course of tawheed there remains nothing in our hearts and minds and souls except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is then and only then that one would achieve that which is the greatest ever achievable level of peace and happiness. That the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of two, if you will, most essential elements and ingredients and blocks that make up the building of an ummah and of an ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. لذلك أنقل ما قال بعض أهل العلم. I communicate to you what some of the people of ilm have said, and a lot of what I will share with you of course has been already said by the people of ilm رحمهم الله تعالى, and I am but a communicator and but one who struggles to live by those beautiful teachings. They say, rahimahullah ta'ala, buniya al-islamu ala kalimatayn, kalimati al-tawheed wa tawheed al-kalima. Some of them had said, to try to emphasize for us the importance of this matter, that Islam was built upon two words, the word of tawheed and the tawheed of the word. The word of Tawheed is Tawheedullah Azza wa Jal, is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we always need to learn about and learn more about and keep reminding ourselves with and keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the experience of the ultimate Tawheed of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our lives. For Tawheed, as I must remind myself and you again, is a dynamic state of the mu'min. Tawheed in the Arabic language is not a noun, it's a masdar. It is a verbal noun, if you will. It's an active noun. It conveys motion, it conveys dynamism, it conveys change, it conveys also consistency. Tawheed is an active state of the heart and of the mind and of the soul and of the senses in order to affirm the oneness, in order to affirm the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has to continue. And we pray, and the seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays that he or she ultimately attains the haqiqah of Tawheed. Attains the haqiqah of Tawheed, the essence of Tawheed. And of Tawheed al-Kalima, and of the unity and the affirmation of the unity of the word of the believers. And that is the coming together. And not just coming together, but coming together is not unity. Being together, being in a jama'ah, is not necessarily being in wahda. For coming together, flocking together with our physical bodies and in meetings and in encounters and in celebrations and so on, and at home even, or in masajid or elsewhere, does not necessarily mean we are united. Isn't it true? Because the unity is the unity of the qulub. The unity is the unity of the hearts. And if the hearts are not united, are not in unison, are not in resonance, then there is no wihda. You have a flock, you have a herd, you have togetherness, coming together, gathering, but it doesn't mean that it's unity. Says Allah Azza wa Jal, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Says Allah Azza wa Jal, describing some people, while one would see and think as he or she looks at them in their external manifestations and in their external worldly affairs, one would say they are jami'an, that they are held strongly together, not together, but jami'an, held strongly together, in a sense, basically unified. But he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nay, you think they are, but their hearts are many. But their hearts, you think they are one, but their hearts, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, their hearts are many, shatta, dispersed. And then he says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, because they are people who do not understand, who do not comprehend, who have no deep insight of knowledge. وَحْدَةُ أو تَوْحِيدُ الْمَعْبُودِ وَوَحْدَةُ الْعَابِدِينَ. The affirmation of the unity of the subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the worshipped, and the unity of the worshippers. And how could true worshippers feel with me, not only think with me, feel with me, how could worshippers worshippers? How could Abidun have many hearts and hearts dispersed? How could it be? Unless their ibadah is the ibadah of many. Unless that ibadah is the ibadah of not the one, but of many. How could ibad be dispersed in their hearts? Feel with me. That is only if the ma'bud is not one in the different hearts. If the worshipped is not one, but many others. Being one together in unity is, as also some ulama put it, rahimahullah ta'ala, so eloquently, is sunnatun kawniya. Sunnatun kawniya. Second, daruratun bashariya. Thirdly, faridatun shar'iyya. Sunnatun kawniya. It's a universal law. Everything in this universe exists in accordance to the law of unity. So we see, subhanallah, that naturally in this world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see atoms coming together. And it is an exceptional state and a rare state for atoms to be alone. Naturally, they have to come together in strong bonds, not just together, in strong bonds to form molecules. Look at this, subhanAllah, ponder about this. They don't like to be alone. Electrons don't like to be alone. Electrons bind together around a nucleus to form atoms. And atoms bind together to form molecules. And molecules, again, subhanAllah, in this natural world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bind together to form cells and organs and solids and liquids and gases. Entities with an identity. And it's not, doesn't stop there. Look at this unity of this universe. Those same elements come and congregate together and join together and bind together to form greater and greater and greater objects, until you have planets and stars. And those planets and stars don't want to be alone. They are not meant to be alone, this natural order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They bind together to form star systems, like our own solar system, held together by very intricate relationships, bound together by forces and energies. And these star systems, subhanAllah, are not alone. It's not the end of the binding and of the unity. They form galaxies. These huge creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are very, very strongly bound. And the galaxies themselves, as we learn, are not alone. They don't want to be alone. They form clusters of galaxies. and the clusters of galaxies we have discovered, the scientists have discovered that they form together superclusters of clusters of galaxies. And then the entire universe is one. The oneness of Allah, the affirmation of the oneness of Allah is to be seen everywhere. To the extent that all the forces that govern the universe, that the human mind was able to discover. The human mind was able to discover that Tawheed is the order of the universe. Unfortunately for many, without extending it to the spiritual Tawheed. That at one time, in the beginning of creation, there was only one force. That proven by mathematical equations. So at one point, there was only one force. All these major forces and all these forces have been summarized into four forces. And then we know now that those four forces, the strong and the weak and the gravitational and the nuclear forces, that represent all the forces in the universe. All the forces draw from this. Or rather, the electromagnetic force, I'm sorry. The strong force, the gravitational force. And the weak force. All of them, now they say, were only one force in the beginning. How can we prove that? We don't know yet, but we know that that's what it is. Sunnatun kawniyya. Sunnatun kawniyya. The animal kingdom the same way. Sometimes we do observe this phenomenon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, in everything He created is for us to reflect and to be ultimately led to one thing, to His Tawheed. In other words, all the universe and the universes He created, in a sense, are in support of this universe, in a sense, for us to know Him as one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find birds, الطَّيْرُ تَطِيرُ فِي أَسْرَابِ. Birds fly in flocks. والحيتان تسبح في أرتال. And the fish swim in schools. والدواب تمشي في قطعان. And beasts walk and run and travel in herds. والنحل تبني والنحل تبني أعوانا. And the bird and the bees build their own habitat together. It is sunnah kawniya. It is darura bashariya. It is a human necessity. A human being cannot be alone. A human being is not intended to live always alone, but to live within the family of humans. If human beings do not live together in harmony, then they will not survive for long. If human beings do not live together to help one another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave different gifts to different human beings, different abilities to different human beings, different tendencies and natural inclinations in different human beings to do this and to do that, to work in this way and to work in that way. They need one another to build their future by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we as human beings, and if we as Muslims do not unite, again, then we will weaken. It is always known, the beautiful truth, which has become a slogan, sometimes a slogan only. Unity is strength, isn't it? Unity is strength, and division is weakness. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are supporters of one another. If you don't do that, then there will be much corruption and mischief on earth and disorder. فَرِيضَةٌ شَرْعِيَّةٌ, it is a shar'i duty. It is a shar'i duty. That is the desired state of affairs. That is the natural, desired, ordained state of affairs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. وَاعْتَصِمُوا, and hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you, in unity together, and do not divide. And do not divide. ولا تفرقوا. ولا تفرقوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not divide and do not disagree. For if you do, your hearts will weaken. Your wind will go away. Your power, your energy, your desire for doing good. Haven't you experienced when you have a problem with your own father or mother or brother or sister or spouse, someone whom you care for and who cares for you, how you weaken? Or in your community, when you have problems in your community, when the hearts are not together, how you get frustrated, and how you don't want to work anymore, and how you don't want to contribute anymore. And each one who does not contribute and who feels that way, or is forced to feel that way, is a minus in the productivity, spiritual productivity, social productivity, and so on, of the community. فَتَفْشَلُوا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will lose your energy, you will lose your resolve and your momentum. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and your wind, literally it says, your wind will disappear. Your power, your energy will go, will fade away, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا. Be not of those who divided again and who disagreed and quarreled, that is, after clear signs had come to them. After clear signs had come to them. And those indeed will be subjected, or will have a severe torment, severe punishment. And of course that azab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is in this dunya and in akhirah. And we spoke of the consequences of dhunub, and to divide and to quarrel in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mean for us is one of the most destructive dhunub. the natural order of relationships between one another is that of unity, is that of consensus. It is not that of differences, it is not that of disagreement. The natural order of things intended to be is that of unity, that of consensus, that of agreement, not that of differences, not that of disagreement. And the Quran is very clear about that, and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear about that. لا تكونوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض, says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not become after me unbelievers, rejecters, that is, of God's grace upon you, of unity. He unified you, He united you after you were divided. He gave you His tawheed after you were mushrikun. He gave you His bounties after you were miserable. He guided you when you were lost. He honored you when you were low and debased. Do not reject my ni'mah. Do not become after me kuffar, and consequently you would kill one another. Even in standing in salah, psychologically how impactful it should be if we only think. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, istaw, line up properly. The sahaba used to respond to that call by feeling no gap, leaving no gap between one another, shoulder to shoulder and ankle to ankle. That's how Umar used to require, that's how the Sahaba used to do. Ankle to ankle, I repeat, ankle to ankle and shoulder to shoulder, not only shoulder to shoulder, ankle to ankle and shoulder to shoulder. The inner dimensional message in there is, I want to be one with you, my brother, with my heart. So there is that external requirement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us internalize it. And thus he says, as he lines them up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. Subhanallah. He says, لا تختلفوا, in lining up, do not be off of one another. Do not be off of one another. For if you do, your hearts will divide. Your hearts will separate from one another. If you separate from one another, in salah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a zari'ah, and that is saddu zari'ah, that is a zari'ah, the means to the hearts being away from one another. And of course, as another rule of law teaches us, العبرة بعموم اللفظ وليس بخصوص السبب. It's an Usuli rule of law. العبرة بعموم اللفظ ليس بخصوص السبب. In other words, the generality of a statement is what is to be followed, not the specificity of the incident or of the cause. Meaning by that here, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ, in the occasion of lining them up in salah, that does not mean that it is only about salah, because the words he used are general. He says, لا تختلفوا, do not disagree. For if you do, your hearts will disagree. do not separate, do not distance yourselves from one another in any way and in any sense. For if you do, your hearts will distance themselves from one another. لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. لا تختلفوا, لا تختلفوا, الاختلاف, disagreement. Disagreement in itself is not inherently good. Please note, disagreement in itself is not inherently good. For everything, again, as we have shown in the natural order of the universe, tends to come together. That's the natural order of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran again, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَأَبُدُونَ. This is your ummah, one ummah, and I am your Lord, worship me. One ummah, one Lord. One Lord, one ummah. The world is intended to be one ummah. For the Lord of the world is one Lord. Human beings and jinns are intended to make this, or to unite in heart and in mind and in action by choice. Because everything else does it naturally. The atoms of the universe, the malaika, everything else does it naturally. Human beings, because of that choice, oftentimes, and we shall learn more as to why, do not do that and do not want that. Second, my dear brothers and sisters, after I hope having established to, I pray, a degree that is sufficiently clear, after that, the concept of diversity, the concept of diversity, of tanawwu, and I repeat, after having established the natural order of the universe being al-wahda, and the natural desired and the divinely desired state of affairs is al-wahda. Now, diversity. Diversity is also in the natural order of Allah's creation. It is simply a reality and a truth that everyone notices in this room, how diverse we are in the way we look, in the way we dress, in the way sometimes we feel. The world around us, the millions of species that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, of different animals and birds and insects and fish, a diversity that can never be not noticed. And in all of that diversity of this universe, it is a type of diversity that does not alter the basic unity of the universe. That diversity is such that it is diversity, not disagreement, not conflict. Two objects may be passing across each other without colliding, but with passing around each other without resistance, without friction. But two elements can pass towards each other, cross each other in conflict and collide and produce a burst, an explosion. Diversity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created is within this natural order of Allah's universal unity in His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, which means verily, in the creation of the universe, the heavens and earth, and in the variances or diversities of your languages and of your complexions, in that are signs for those who have knowledge. Are signs for those who have knowledge, subhanAllah. They are meant to be elements by which actually we discover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawheed and unity and existence. They are not meant for otherwise. They are meant, in other words, to enhance our ability to affirm the basic unity of the universe, and the to affirm the unity and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to that natural order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, one way to look at it sometimes is this. Though electrons come together to unite and to form atoms around a nucleus, and the elements of a nucleus come together to find a very strong to make a very, very strong thing called the nucleus. The forces that bound a nucleus, as you know, are humongous. When you break them, you cause disasters. You have atomic bombs and you have fusion bombs, and when you break them apart, they don't want to break apart. You break them apart and you produce this destructive force. You break them apart. So, do you listen? Did you hear that? You break them apart and you produce this destructive force. Yet those electrons, when they come together within that unity, what do they, what are they allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do within that unity? To move in clouds of electrons. They are allowed to move in a motion of diverse nature. And that motion itself, we learn, contributes to the very unity of the atom. SubhanAllah. And that an electron over-energized will do what? Will leave its orbit, will break the unity of the atom. And an electron over energized will break the unity of the atom. A star is held together. Beautiful stars that we look at are beautiful, and they are very intense. They are held together by, and they are united by what? What holds them together? What holds a star together? Gravity. Gravity, this force of binding together and holding together. Gravity. But inside of a star, what's happening? What's happening inside of a star? So much motion. The heat, as you know, inside of a star is most intense. And the heat tends to do what? Naturally tends to make the star expand, tends to cause the elements that are under heat to break off. But the heat is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is this, because the essence is unity, is such that that motion allowed for the internal elements of the star, that motion allowed, so much freedom allowed inside there, but that freedom and that motion is such that it contributes to the very unity of the star. How is that? If that force was not there, what would happen to the star? It would implode onto itself by the gravitational pull. It will implode. That's not an explosion, but an implosion. And it will destroy the star. Those forces are just enough, the balance, al-wasatiyya, le milieu. Moderation. Such that it contributes to the very unity, basic unity and strength and longevity and peace of the star. And the star continues to shine. But if those internal forces were not allowed at all, the star would implode onto itself. But if those forces are allowed, an energy and a movement more than what the natural order requires, then the star would explode and would die, and it will shine no more. Well, that's diversity. And in Allah's creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made that diversity plain and recognizable, and as also a law of His in this universe. And that in His sending to human beings His messengers, and in teaching the human beings what is right and wrong, what is moral and immoral, what is lawful and unlawful, what is good and bad, He subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the balance, the mizan. Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insana allamahu al-bayan, الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان. Do not break the balance. Do not exceed in the balance. لا تطغوا في الميزان. If you do, you will bear the consequences. وَلَا تَطْغَوْ لَا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ لَا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. It's not a matter of there should be no unity. No. It's not a matter there should be no diversity. He who or she who denies diversity denies a law of God. The matter is, what is the balance? And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messengers, His rusul, with His revelations subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the ultimate final revelation through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, to teach us the balance. Alhamdulillah, to teach us the balance. And in teaching us, He communicated with us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He communicated with us in human terms. in human language. And that human language, as we learn to know in the Quran, the Arabic language, is a language that naturally, in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to execute His wise design, that language itself He has created and has chosen His revelation to be in that language, which contains diversity. If He wanted, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He willed, He would have made everyone the same, every language the same, every word having only one meaning, and not two meanings, and not three meanings. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا, says Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah willed, He would make all humans one. But He wanted them to be one by themselves, by their choice. And He created in the world and in them that which will be challenging them, the nafs. He created in them that choice. He created in them diversity. And that diversity is an ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is an ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the opposite. It is intended to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are intended to find the balance by and through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you find the Quran using words that have more than one meaning. Al-lafzul mushtarak in the Arabic language is like, if you will, a homonym. And a word that has more than the same word used for more than one meaning. Two meanings, three meanings, four meanings, seven meanings and more. You find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing us in a logical way that allow for more than one logical interpretation. All of that is intended. And here we come to the origin of differences. Why are there differences between us? Let's say, between Muslims first. Why are there differences? Why are there disagreements? Well, first let us note that differences and disagreements, or let's say differences, are not all the same. There are some differences that we would classify as differences of diversity. اختلاف تنوع, as the ulama would put it, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there are other differences that would be classified or identified as اختلاف تضاد. اختلاف تضاد. Differences of opposition, if you will. And each one of them has its own characteristics. Each one of them has its own grades. There are grades of differences of tawad, and there are grades of differences of tanawwu'. And the ethics governing each one of them would be different. And we shall, inshallah ta'ala, as we spend this day together, bi-idhnillah, speak of what are those, some of those differences, how to identify them, and what are the ethics that should govern, inshallah ta'ala, that should govern the relationship between Muslims, individuals, and hopefully also others, as they disagree in matters of diversity nature and in matters of opposition and conflict nature. It is 10 o'clock. We stop here, inshallah, for a brief recess, and we resume bi-ibnillah in about 7 minutes. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.